Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be back with you, and today we got a special best of show all geared towards the local baseball scene. Now, unfortunately, high school and JUCO baseball is over with here in the Castle Country. The spring sports season just flew by in a hurry. And before you know it, we'll be talking about fall sports, which we've already got a head start on this last week on Drive Time Sports. But today we're going to focus on Carbon, Emory, and USU Eastern. We're going to wrap up the season in general. We'll hear from all three coaches. First-year head coach Sean Alton of the Emory Spartans joined us following their second loss in the state tournament. You know, they finished in the top five, and one of the things that stood out to me about Emory was how close this team was considering the division that they were in. So the state championship game featured the Grand Red Devils and the Gunnison Bulldogs. Gunnison got the win. They were the state champs. Emory split with Grand in the regular season, and they lost a heartbreaker to Gunnison. Both games they lost to Gunnison were close, but one, I believe, was a two-run game. So Emory was extremely close in that regard throughout the 2A East, unfortunately falling short of their ultimate goal of a state championship. So Coach Sean Alton joined us, talked about the future. Emory's going to be very young next season. We also caught up with Coach Scott Mattson. So many positives for this USU Eastern team. Now, their tournament, their conference tournament, sets up a little bit different right now because there's only five teams in conference. So the first game is a play-in game. So it's a double elimination tournament past that first round contest. USU Eastern had a 7-2 lead over Colorado Northwestern, and they lost 8-7. But so many positives, so many freshmen coming back next season. The USU Eastern baseball program is probably in the best shape that it's been in quite some time. There's also a couple of local kids that will return next year. Cole Fawcett and Jared Lesser both played key roles for the USU Eastern Eagles throughout the year. So we talked to Coach Mattson about that and what next season looks like. Plus, last week we caught up with Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dinos. The 3A state tournament pushes along a little bit late. The Dinos did win two games in the one-loss bracket after falling to Desert Hills. They did eliminate Morgan. They eliminated Stansbury. And then they fell off against Juan Diego in a game that was really close. Carbon, you want to talk about close. Again, they were extremely close this season. They had an opportunity to win a region championship in the final week of league play. They needed to take two of three from Canyon View to do so, and they didn't do it. It dropped them all the way down to a three seed. But they, too, have a lot of returners. In fact, they had seven seniors, but their pitching staff is so deep. So many coming back next season that Coach Cincinnatus definitely has a lot to look forward to, and we talked to him on the show last week about that as well. So we're going to talk all local baseball here on this special edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We'll get things rolling with Coach Sean Alton of the Emory Spartans right after this.
If you can't swing like a pro, you can at least look like a pro with the help of TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club. TK's has it all, from clubs and balls to lots of hats and shoes and a great selection of shirts with many colors and sizes to choose from. With the help of the experts at TK's Pro Shop, not only will you look like a pro, you'll be playing like a pro too. Spring is here. The golf course awaits. Get in and gear up today at TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course.
Every great team starts with a great coach, and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead with Castle Valley Orthodontics. I recently took over Dr. Broadwater's orthodontic practice here in Price. I'm excited to work with the patients and community here in Carbon and Emery County. We provide orthodontic treatment for children, teenagers, and adults, and also offer Invisalign, the clear alternative to braces. My passion is creating beautiful smiles one person at a time. Call us today for your free smile assessment at 637-2222.
You're listening to the best of Drive Time Sports, the 2017 Baseball Wrap-Up Edition on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. The 3A high school baseball season is not quite complete. We have one more weekend there. However, it is finished in the 2A classification. The Gunnison Bulldogs, they win the state championship. They knocked off the Grand Red Devils. And those two teams have something in common with Emory. They all are a part of the 2A East Division. Very competitive league throughout the entire season. There were some great battles between Emory, Gunnison, and Grand. The Spartans, on the other hand, they drop a tough game to Kanab, who was the number one seed out of their prospective region. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that game and the season as a whole, we have head coach Sean Olton to wrap up the season. Coach, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jordan.
Unfortunately, it's the season wrap-up interview, Coach. The year is now in the books, and for Emory, it actually came to a close on Friday. You guys suffered a loss to Kanab in the one-loss bracket. You guys battled, though, Coach. I mean, it's really hard to come back from that one-loss bracket. You guys scored wins over South Summit, Providence Hall, and Enterprise to get to that point. Unfortunately, Kanab was the end point.
It was. You know, the kids performed very well, and looking at that game, the Kanab game, you know, the kids did very well. You know, we had six errors in that game. And if you take the six errors away and the seven runs that they scored based on that, you know, we win that game 4-3. But, you know, it is what it is. And I couldn't be happier. You know, it's unfortunately that's where it ended for us.
We'll talk about the logistics of the tournament in just a moment, but to see your team battle back and win three consecutive games faced with elimination, those games, they put you on the edge of your seat, Coach, and for the kids to perform the way they did against Providence Hall, very good team. We're talking about the number one seed from the North region, Enterprise. They may have been the number three seed from the South, but that's a very tough division. You and I had talked about that. And then to go up against Kanab, another number one squad, you guys had a tough road.
We did. And the kids performed exceptionally well. I thought they come alive. They come together as a team. You know, our bats came finally to, you know, in this tournament where they've been kind of at a lull for a couple games, but our bats come alive. We scored lots of runs. A couple emotional games where I saw the kids, you know, really get into it, the fans into it. And it was a very, very fun time, fun tournament.
This was a team that really showed signs throughout the year, Coach. I know you guys did beat Grand. Grand actually went on to the state championship game, lost to Gunnison not once but twice, but that's a team that you guys beat. You hung with Gunnison, probably should have beat Gunnison once. And so at times, this team showed that they were capable of winning a state championship.
Oh, no doubt. And I told the kids from the beginning, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that if we work hard, you know, we swing the bat, we eliminate the errors, eliminate the walks, keep the pitch count down, then we're going to be very, very good, and we will compete at the end. And I couldn't have asked for any more. Like I said, the kids did exceptionally well, and, you know, getting in that one-loss bracket is tough to come back from. But you know what? I thought they lived up to expectations and even that much more.
As far as that bracket goes, it's not a death sentence because we've seen this team win a state championship falling down to that bracket before. It's just so difficult to do. The past success that this school and this team has had in the one-loss bracket, did that give the kids hope, or did you feel like maybe the enthusiasm and the mentality dipped a little bit?
No. The kids actually mentioned the championship team from a couple years ago where we did come back, and it did give them some enthusiasm, and it did give them some hope. It did.
As far as the seniors, I mean, it's always sad to say goodbye to the senior group. You had a few on this year's squad, and you never want to see a senior end on the short end of the stick. But unfortunately, there's only one team that's going to end their season with a victory, and that's Gunnison. So as far as those seniors go, how did you assess the way they played, not only in the tournament, but throughout the year, Coach?
You know, they did awesome, and I couldn't have asked for any more. In my mind, they took this team, they molded it, they put it together, and they had a lot of opportunities to set the example throughout the year, and they did just that. You know, I saw a lot of the young kids really looking up to them, watching what they would say when we come off the field after a defensive situation or playing defense. A lot of our seniors would be the ones in the center talking, as I would be, but I would sit back and watch them and listen to them talk about having heart and playing with intent and doing those kind of things. So it was very, very cool and respectable to sit back and watch these seniors take the helm of this team and watch the rest of them follow suit.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Sean Alton of the Emory Sport and Baseball team. Let's talk about a couple of these seniors. First off, you had two that you really relied on pitching-wise until Gardner and Zach Jorgensen. And unfortunately, you got to say goodbye to these two arms that were solid all year.
Absolutely. You know, they're not going to be replaceable for sure. You know, and I thought Race did a great job stepping in this year as well. You know, there's three good arms right there that we're really going to lose and going to miss. So, you know, hopefully we can get some work done over the winter time and get some other people groomed for next year.
Yeah, Race is one of those arms. It seems, at least in my and from my perspective, looking at the box scores, Coach, he got better throughout the season. I mean, it was an arm that you were able to rely on a little bit more later on down the stretch.
Absolutely. You know, and you nailed it on the head. You know, I thought at first, a couple of outings, he struggled just a little bit. But, you know, his confidence came along, and Race was right there with Tell and Zach, in my mind, right at the end of the year. And he'd come in a couple crucial games. You know, I look at the South Sevier game where Race flat out dominated that game when we played them earlier in the year, a ranked team, a very good team that made it far in the state tournament. And then, you know, in the Enterprise game where we come in and spelled Tells for those last few innings, you know, he did phenomenal and held down the fort, and we got the win there.
Another senior that batted really well, hit really well for you guys throughout the year is Logan Labrum. He was coming off of an injury, and it seemed like he too got better as the season went on.
He did, but as I look back at the season, Logan was hitting beach balls really all year long. You know, that's pretty much what it looked like to him coming from the pitcher. He was probably the most consistent in my mind hitting the ball, and he just continued to get that much better and someone that I could rely on with runners on that I knew without a doubt that he was going to put the ball in play and score a run or two. He was a very tough out all year long. Very rarely did Logan ever strike out.
I don't have the roster in front of me. Off the top of my head, I believe Jordan was the fifth senior, correct?
Correct.
Jordan Beletka for you guys is the fifth senior. I mean, talk about him and what he brought to the team this year, Coach.
You know, Jordan brought a lot of leadership skills. A lot of people looked at him. Very solid catcher and one that we're going to miss. You know, he's been a starter for the last 3 years on the team, and you know, we're very going to miss his leadership skills. And, you know, a leadoff for us at the bat, a lot of times, you know, he was a tough out as well, and we're going to miss the leadership and what he brought to the table as well.
So now that you got to say goodbye to these five seniors, Coach, next year the team is going to look a little bit different. You guys are going to be very young, two seniors returning from this year, next, you know, two juniors, I guess we could say, this year, becoming seniors next season. And to make it a little bit more difficult, you guys got to jump a classification.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to be young next year, and it's going to be a whole different dynamic, but I'm optimistic, and I believe that we can compete. I look at the sophomore class, we're very deep in pitching. very deep in skill. So I believe that a lot of those sophomores are going to be able to jump in and fill some holes that I hope that can be filled, and that we can compete next year and get back to the state tournament and just see what happens.
You know, even though we are jumping a classification next year, Coach, at the same time, Grand, Manti, North St. Pete, Richfield, South Sevier, San Juan, I mean, that's Region 15, and those are a lot of familiar opponents. So even though there is a jump in classification, I don't know that the talent level isn't anything that we're not already familiar with.
No, that's correct. You know, other than maybe a couple teams up north, you know, you throw Carbon in the mix that we have, that, you know, that we see once a year, but they'll be in our classification. You throw in a couple other private schools, maybe Grantsville right there and Judge. But other than that, it's pretty much the same. And you're right, you know, the talent level, it should level itself out.
Let's talk about you, Coach Sean Alton, here for a moment. Your first year as a manager, what did you learn this year, Coach? And how much different is it being the head coach opposed to being an assistant?
Very stressful, I'll be honest with you. Very stressful. You know, as an assistant to Coach Gordon, who I admire and respect, he took this team, won a couple state championships. Very, very good coach, knows what to do in the critical times and situations. And so as an assistant, we can sit back and rely on him and what he does. And you just don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And he took care of everything. And so when I look back of what he did, you know, leaving us other coaches stress-free, now taking over, and it's just all the little things behind the scenes you got to worry about and deal with and take care of. And there's a lot of things that people out there just don't know about being a head coach, and the stressful nights and the sleepless nights and worrying about who's going to pitch, you know, here or there, and who's going to bat where, and trying to get a lineup and what's best for the team. And then you got the bus trips that you got to worry about, who's going, who's not, grades, motel rooms, you know, just a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, ordering of the uniforms or other apparel. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that you got to worry about, and the timelines that the High School Activity Association places on you for the dead time that's out there and when you can practice, when you can't. So it's very stressful, but you know what? I think it's one of the most rewarding things I've ever been a part of, seeing this team come together and seeing what they did and how they competed, and I have a lot of satisfaction in this first year as a coach.
With that being said, you mentioned the timeline and when you can and can't practice. I mean, what does the offseason look like for the Emory baseball team?
You know, I hope some of the kids, and we talked about this, and we're going to continue to talk about it, but get on the baseball field this summer and do some things. I know as a school, there's a dead time right around July, right around the 4th of July area, where you can't practice or do anything for a couple weeks, and then we hit that dead time again around November. So, you know, I hope the kids get on the field. I'm going to try to put some things together maybe this summer where we can take some of these younger classmen, underclassmen players, and go do some things, enhance our skills, maybe get ready for next year, just get them back on the field and playing some ball games, and then we're going to hit it hard over the wintertime. You know, we really definitely have to groom the pitching. We've got to have that as a focus, you know, as the new pitching rules, and that's what we have to really focus on next year. I mean, we're going to be young, and we've got a lot of work to do.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Coach. It really has been fun each week to talk with you and get an update on the team. It's fun to follow you guys. It was a very entertaining season, and again, I think the boys did great at the state tournament considering the circumstances. So I appreciate you always taking out the time to join me on air each week.
You know, absolutely, Jordan. I appreciate your time and what you do for our community and how you cover, you know, the multi-counties. And it's just been really fun to talk with you this year.
Coach, definitely a pleasure. We'll talk again real soon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Again, that's Emory baseball manager Sean Alton taking out the time to wrap up the 2017 season. It was a successful one for Emory. I mean, they battled tough. You go back, you look at some of the games that they had with Grand and Gunnison, the two teams that participated in the state championship. Emory beat Grand, and they were right there with Gunnison. Probably should have beat them a time or two, no doubt. Congratulations to Emory on the 2017 season. We'll talk more high school baseball a little bit later on in the week. Right now, we got to get out for a quick commercial break, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.
Baseball games, spring picnics, outdoor activities. There's no doubt spring is here. The sun is up longer and we're out playing. Who wants to take a break from all their spring activities to make dinner? Well, thank goodness for KFC. It's home-cooked food you don't have to cook yourself. The Colonel's original recipe chicken is still freshly prepared in every restaurant. And it's seasoned with their secret blend of 11 herbs and spices and hand-breaded all day long. Get into KFC today and pick up a delicious filling meal for you and your crew. It's fast, filling, and delicious.
You could stop by any convenience store in the Castle Valley, but let me tell you why Single Stop in Wellington is the only place I go. Single Stop sells Shell gasoline. Shell, regular, and plus gasoline meets the top tier standard and contains more than 2 times the amount of cleaning agents required by the EPA, which actively cleans your engine while you drive. While you're there, grab yourself a coffee, fountain drink, or a slice of Single Stop's homemade pizzas. Their friendly service makes you feel like you're part of the Single Stop family. So stop by Single Stop today, 690 East in Wellington.
Is it time for a new vehicle, but you're afraid a new car just isn't in the budget? Well, then it's time to come see me, Jesse, at Jane Auto in Huntington. We carry quality, nearly new vehicles, but without the brand new sticker price. We have a large inventory of slightly used vehicles, many with remaining manufacturer warranties. Get a practical new vehicle for a much better price here at Jane Auto. At Jane Auto, we are committed to making you a lifetime customer. We promise a stress-free buying experience and top-notch customer service that we hope will make you a lifetime customer. Come see us at Jane Auto today.
Whether you're with coworkers, family, or friends, going to lunch is always a battle between appetites.
Where should we go?
You decide. I always decide.
On and on until everyone's starving. Big Mo's Eatery is always the right answer for lunch, no matter the argument. Big Mo's salads are refreshing and full of flavor. Order a juicy half-pound burger and fresh-cut fries, and you'll be full all day. For the indecisive, try a turkey bacon avocado or savory French dip. Win the lunch spot battle every time by choosing Big Mo's Eatery and price.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports, the 2017 Baseball Wrap-Up Edition on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the
play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We have more baseball talk in the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports. Yesterday, we caught up with Coach Sean Alden of the Emory Spartans, put the final touches on the two-way high school baseball season. Again, Carbon will continue play this Thursday. Today, we're going to move away from high school, talk JUCO, USU Eastern. Their season came to a close with an 8-7 loss to Colorado in a game that was really entertaining. USU Eastern actually dominated the first 6 innings of this contest before things got interesting. Again, joining us over the phone right now, we have Coach Scott Mattson to talk about that and the season in general. Coach, always fun to talk to you.
All right, Jordan. Well, it's good to be back.
Coach, it's the final interview of the year. We'll wrap up the 2017 season. It went by in a hurry, and unfortunately for you guys, it ends in dramatic fashion with an 8-7 loss to Colorado in the opening round of the conference tournament.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a heartbreaker to lose that close. But, I mean, it's even worse when you have a 7-2 lead and then kind of give up six or seven runs there in three innings to lose and just not hit after you had seven after three. It was frustrating, but you know what? Good. They battled. A lot of freshmen did a lot of good things that will be coming back. And, you know, they ended the season on a high note. We had a lot of kids make the all-region team. We had 4 freshmen and 2 sophomores. So, and it was good for everybody all around, I feel like.
Hey, we'll talk in particular about one player. Jesse Rowley in this game was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you look at that final stat line, Coach, and it's sad to see a season come to a close off a game like that.
Yeah, you know, he's been a good, solid hitter for us all year long, and he's just kind of been a little bit up and down for us. But that last game, oh my goodness. I mean, it was something to see him. Even when he got out, his ball was still hammered. I mean, those two home runs, the seven RBIs in that game were just phenomenal. I mean, and we had everything rolling there and just seemed like we lost energy. But you know what? He'll be back. He's going to be a good player for us. I feel like he kind of settled in there towards the end and really took off. I mean, he ended up making the first team All-Region. He was, I want to say, second in the league in hitting. So, I mean, having him come back with Cole Fawcett is a good, strong base for us.
Yeah, offensively, no doubt about it, Coach. When you look at that final stat line, when's the last time you had a player put up statistics like that in an individual game? I mean, that's a video game type performance.
It is. You know, I want to say the last person that put it up was Craig Brinkerhoff, and I mean, he was the player of the year in the SWAC, and they were both as freshmen. So I mean, those guys come in, and that's the type of potential that this kid has. He's fast. He can throw. I mean, he has all the tools, and to see it come together and kind of culminate there at the end was just fantastic.
You mentioned pairing him with Cole next season. Both will be sophomores. I mean, when you look at these two guys, as far as a 1-2 punch offensively goes, I mean, do you think that you guys will have an edge on most teams, or is this something that you guys have just been lacking that most teams in the conference have had over the last 10 years or so?
You know, I think we're going to have that 1-2 punch that is above everybody else with those two. I mean, you still have Steven Ortiz in that mix, who he was at 285. He was actually the second. He just was injured there at the end. He pulled his hamstring, and I mean, curing a hamstring while still trying to play is impossible. That was a big aspect of his game, is his speed and not having that. So, I mean, we have guys right there that I feel like we're going to be at the level, if not above, because, I mean, this year Cole did well. He just kind of there towards the end. We couldn't get anybody really consistent to back him up and kind of protect him. So he ended up getting walked a lot and having to go hit pitches that, I mean, most people wouldn't even try and hit. So as far as next year, I think with those two protecting each other, and then we have some kids coming back that, geez, they're even going to be better. I mean, we have Mitch Dial, who blew his knee out prior to the season about a week before. He was slated to be our number four hitter, which I put his bat up with Jesse Groley. I mean, we have that potential.
Coach, how frustrating is it to go to the conference tournament and be the only team that doesn't suffer two losses outside of the conference champion?
You know, I mean, that's something they set up when we moved to Division II, and it's something that's in the work. It's not ideal for us. I mean, obviously, we travel that far. We'd like to at least play two games and do all that, and to have your season on the balance of traveling there and having to win the very first game, that's tough because, I mean, you're traveling a lot and doing all that stuff. But I personally am fighting to get it changed. I think it's not right for us, and it's not right for the first-place team that's done so well and not gotten that first round bye. I mean, they ended up playing the exact same amount of games as anybody else in that tournament and still happened to host. And that's, I mean, a true tournament isn't set up for that way. That gave the number two and three teams a better chance of winning.
No, it definitely did. And I guess, I clarify that. I mean, I guess Colorado only had to lose one game as well. I mean, it's just a different format. And a lot of that has to do with only having five teams, right?
Right. And, you know, I mean, Colorado did only have to lose one, but at the same time, you saw it this year. If you win a close game like Colorado came back, I mean, they had some big hits in that game, really, really got things rolling for them. And, I mean, I'll tell everybody, I think we awoke the beast in Colorado when we played them. But they had that momentum going into that game where they just pummeled CSN. I mean, that's a huge thing in baseball to have that energy. And if you can continue to run with that, oh my goodness, you can just roll, which was proven. I mean, throughout the whole tournament, even when they ended up losing two after that, they were one-run games, and they were right there in every game. So, I mean, it's a big deal, especially with that play-in game, because you have a lot of emotions running high in that game.
Right, absolutely. Again, our guest right now is Coach Scott Madsen of the USU Eastern baseball team. Coach, with this being said, I feel like this is the first time in a while that I looked at the USU Eastern baseball squad and said, this team can legitimately win a conference championship. You guys played great baseball down the stretch, knocking off CSI 3 out of 4 times, and then outplayed Colorado for 7 or 8 innings out of a 9-inning contest. You really have to feel good about the foundation built by these freshmen that'll be back next year.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sitting back, and I mean, obviously I'm going to have to replace a catcher. They were all sophomores, and we have first baseman coming back, and I've already replaced our pitching that we need for next year. So, I mean, just talking to these kids as we're having our exit interviews here over the last few days, these kids are excited, and that's something that we really needed, because, I mean, it's been a while since our sophomores have come back and said, you know what, we have the team to do it. I mean, you have guys like Jared Lesser that he battled through some injuries, but that guy, he's going to be a big pitcher for us next year, and he's proven that he could be at the top of the league if he can stay healthy. You know, even that last game, he threw awesome. Just an error here or there, and, I mean, we're out of that without giving up his run that gave him the eighth, which was an unearned run. But, I mean, just having those guys, we had, for the first time, we had a pitcher in the top three in the league. I mean, you're talking a kid that's a lefty, and he ended up getting hit in the eye when we played that CSI game and came back and started that playoff game with Colorado, got us through five, and then his back started tightening up, which, I mean, I was just excited that he was out there in the first place, you know, after taking one off the eye a couple weeks prior. But, I mean, it's so comforting to know, hey, we have these guys that are coming back, and they're excited and willing to put the work in to win that next year, and to know that they were two games off from third place, two or three games off. I mean, that's how close the conference was. We were three games from being ahead of CSI. I mean, it was just one of those things that we get a few lucky bounces here and there, and it's a whole different atmosphere at that region tournament.
The ERA did rise a little bit for you guys later on in the season. I think you finished around 3.5, if I remember right, Coach. I mean, what do you contribute to that, and where does that number need to be for this team to be successful moving into next season?
You know, that had a lot to do with our bullpen. I feel like our guys just didn't get, you know, they were just sporadic with how we were getting them. We were kind of dependent on some sophomores that started the season really hot, really energetic, but I think as the season went on, they just kind of fell off and didn't really do exactly what we were approaching early, and, you know, they just kind of missed a lot of key pitches that really killed us in the end, and that's what rose it. And then I think there were some errors early in the game, and this is kind of something we preach is, you know, what we preach to be on or out in three pitches and just kind of pound the zone, which it worked well for us. We were leading the league at the beginning, and then come the end, I think we tried to go a few more strikeouts and pitch around people a little bit more, and that just kind of hurt us in the end as we're pitching in counts where the hitters could really get after them. But I really think that's something that we've worked hard to replace, and I feel like there's some guys that we have coming in that could really fill those roles and shut it down for the rest of the game.
I know that every team could make an excuse, and I know you're never about excuses, Coach, but I have to believe that playing six consecutive weeks on the road contributed to that problem.
You know, it really did. There was guys that were struggling with school, obviously. I mean, being gone that much and trying to do all your homework on the road around 30 kids is impossible. And then being able to go out there and play those tough teams at the level of competition we had, I mean, that just... it puts an amount of stress on you that you can't imagine. I know I was wore out. I can't imagine those kids that were out there playing four games a weekend, how they felt. But, I mean, you just can't ever get good rest on the road in the bed. And I'm not about excuses, but, you know, I think that's something that we're going to look into. And it's hard to remedy because of the fact that we play so early in the year. And we can't play home games. But we're really working on trying to see if we can't get games at least closer where we might be able to stay in our beds a few more nights.
With all this being said, Coach, now you go into the off season. I know it's a year-round gig. It's not as if you actually, as a coach, have an off season. Maybe the players do, but not you as a coach. So, what's next? What do you have next on the agenda?
You know, right now we're putting together a strength training program to get some of these freshmen stronger and see if we can make it through without getting hurt as much. And then we're just out there recruiting and kind of getting our kids prepped for next year and really trying to move the program forward. We brought on a new assistant coach in Kirk Haney, who played for me in the past years, and he's done a good job, and he's going to be a big asset to us. We're currently in the process of hiring a graduate assistant to come on and help. So, I mean, that's the areas we're really working on. We're setting up a summer tryout program to showcase things. So, and we're moving some directions, but that's kind of what we do is start to plan for the next year and see where we want to be and set our program up and make adjustments from what we've seen this year to the next year.
Personnel-wise, how close is next year's team to being complete at this point in time? Do you still have a lot of recruiting left to do, or is it about set?
You know, we're about set where we're at. We'll pick up some walk-on kids here or there, but where we're at right now is I mean, we're returning 14, 15 kids from last year's team, and then, which, I mean, at the end of the season, seven of them were starters for us. And it probably could have been a bigger number if any of them were healthy, but we only had to replace a few. There's a few key players that were out there. We have guys waiting to get answers from, but that catching position is probably the main priority for us right now.
Coach, it has been fun to follow the team all year long. I always appreciate you making time for us each week. Congratulations on a very entertaining season, and I know we'll be talking again real soon.
All right. Well, I appreciate your support, Jordan.
That's my pleasure, Coach. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll move over, talk some NBA basketball tonight, the lottery, and there's a lot at stake for a couple of teams. We'll go over some of those scenarios when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Emory Telcom's new eFiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telcom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emory Telcom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff at the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's Pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 North.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag a little bit about some of the amazing students we have representing the college. I'd like to recognize our volleyball, softball, and soccer teams for the time and service they're giving to our local elementary students by helping with reading programs and other school programs. Thank you, student-athletes, for being role models to our youngest community members and for helping to make the future a little brighter because of your efforts. For more stories about the incredible student body we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
You're listening to the best of Drive Time Sports, the 2017 Baseball Wrap-Up Edition on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We're going to talk baseball here on Drive Time Sports as we continue to wrap up the spring high school sports season down to the final couple of days of the school year. Yesterday, we talked some Carbon Dino softball. Today, we'll talk some baseball. The Dino baseball squad actually made a nice run through the one-loss bracket as well. They fell victim to Juan Diego. That's how the season came to an end. But that was after eliminating a couple of teams, including Stansbury, with a very big and hard-fought victory. Joining us right now in the studio to talk about the end of the season, we have head coach Jeff Centenaris. Coach, good to get you in today.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Coach, the season came to a close. You guys actually made a nice run after dropping that first contest. You guys were able to eliminate a couple of squads. Unfortunately, Juan Diego was the end point for this team. But you guys definitely had a decent run through that one-loss bracket.
Yeah, I'm proud of our guys. I mean, obviously there's only one team in the state that's going to walk off the field,
you know, as a victor when the state tournament comes around, everybody else is going to walk off as, you know, losing their last game. So, you know, that's kind of what I told my guys. Obviously, you want to play as far as you can, but, you know, third straight year, we've made it that far in the state tournament. This year, you know, dropping our first game in the first round and having to come back. And I thought we played exceptionally well against Stansbury, our first game Thursday. You know, kids played good defense. You know, we had some timely hitting. We scored some runs in the first inning, kind of put the pressure on Stansbury. Zach Bradley, you know, came back after not his greatest showing against Desert Hills the week before, and we kind of talked about things, and I thought come out and pitched a perfect game for us. Got us deep into the ball game, and then once again we turned the ball over to Adrian Sanchez on the mound in relief, and I cannot say enough good things about what Adrian did for us in the postseason, coming in as a sophomore, pitched three innings at Desert Hills like we talked about a week ago with seven strikeouts, came back in a bases-loaded situation with the score 3-2 us. Against Stansbury, bases loaded, one out with their 3-4 hitters up. You know, talk about the meat of the lineup and having bases loaded and only a one-run lead, and comes in and strikes out their two big hitters, gets us out of a jam, and then finishes off the game for us, gets a big double play ball in the seventh inning to kind of, you know, shut Stansbury's rally down there, and we come out with a 4-2 victory. So, again, he did a great job, but, you know, Zach Bradley did a wonderful job for five innings and kept us in the ball game. And I just thought we played a really good ball game against Stansbury.
I think all in all, the pitching staff is something that you've talked about all year. I mean, when you have that deep of pitching, especially with the underclassmen that you guys have, you really have the ability to go deep into the state tournament. I mean, now with the inning limit, the pitch limit, it's a must, right? I mean, you have to be able to throw six or seven kids.
Yeah, if you look at the state tournament as a whole and you look at the scores, this was really a lopsided state tournament. I mean, Park City was ranked number one or two all year long, and that was because they had, you know, probably the state's best 3A pitcher in the Brady kid, and when he threw, they were lights out, but when he didn't throw, they were really vulnerable, and that's obvious. They lost, you know, their two state games, I think 20-2 and 19-1, and, you know, you hate to see state tournament games decided by 20 runs, but that's kind of what we got into with this pitch count thing. And when teams ran out of, you know, their best pitchers and had to throw guys that probably were just throwing JV all year long, you know, the good hitting teams really took advantage of that and put up some big runs on them. And, you know, that kind of happened to Juan Diego the game after us. You know, they played pretty well, but then Snow Canyon really took advantage of their pitching staff and put a bunch of runs on them. So, you know, I'm a big fan of saving kids' arms and really the safety part of the aspect, but when you look at what happened in the state tournament in semifinal games and you're having a team get beat by 20 runs, you know, that just shouldn't happen. And unfortunately it did, and I think a lot of it had to do with the pitch count. You know, teams just didn't have a pitcher to come in and really throw in those games, you know, to close out a good team. But at the same time, you should be preparing those kids all year long to be in that situation, and that was something that I really tried to do all year long. And yeah, we take some losses early in the year, and our record is, you know, it's not 20-2. You know, we were 14-10 on the year. But, you know, what does that record really matter when it comes down to the state tournament and how far you go, and if you accomplish your goals? You can win a state tournament and be a sub-500 team if you put it together right and do things. So, I mean, ultimately that's what it's about, and I really was proud of the way we brought our kids along all year. I thought our pitching staff was maybe second to none as far as depth. You know, we just didn't hit the ball and get enough runs on the board to push us deeper into the state tournament. But had we, I thought we would have had a great chance. And so I'm excited about next year with the pitching staff we have coming back. We're going to focus all summer long on our hitting. Obviously, we need to be better hitters, and we're really going to focus on that, you know, along with everything else that comes along with baseball. But the hitting part for us is kind of where we struggled this year. We just wasn't consistent enough to win those big games.
I think one of the words that could describe the team this year, Coach, is close. You guys were so close in so many different instances. I mean, you go back and you look at the way region came to an end. You guys were close to winning a region title. You made a nice run throughout the state tournament in that one loss bracket like we just talked about. I mean, this team was very close to being very, very good.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, a lot of people, maybe even including myself, after you look at what we lost last year and thought, you know, where will we be this year? But, you know, once I seen the guys during the summer, and once I seen them coming to open gyms in the wintertime, you know, I started to believe that we had a group that could go as far as we could, you know, needed to go. But I don't think a lot of people maybe gave us that credit. But, you know, you're right. I mean, this group really played well. We were close, but just the inconsistency is what held us back. You know, just not being consistent day in and day out. But, you know, I really think the effort was there. I got after him quite a few times. We've talked about that, about our effort. And, you know, I talked to him just the other day about summer ball, and it's about effort. And if they really want to see me get fired up, come and give me a poor effort every day, because effort is something everybody can give. Talent is something that not everybody has the best of, but effort is something that everyone should be able to give and give their best. And so, yeah, close. I mean, you look at the Juan Diego game, our last game, we got put out. I mean, you know, they put 5 runs on us in the first inning. A lot of teams would have just laid down and been done. And, you know, we come back, we cut it to 5-4 by the fourth inning. And I thought I had the momentum, had guys at second and third, another base hit, we take the lead, and who knows what happens. But again, we were just close and couldn't get the big hit when we needed it there to push us over the top. And, you know, eventually ended up giving up a few more runs. I mean, a big, you know, they had a big inside the park home run with bases loaded. And, you know, I can't fault the effort by Wyatt Wilson in center field. He made so many great catches for us all year long that if you don't try and make another great catch, you don't know if you're going to. And that's something I've worked with the guys on, you know, diving and trying to make a great catch, because if you don't try, you're never going to make one. And so, unfortunate for him and for us, the ball got by him in center field. You know, they had a big inside the park home run, gave him 4 runs there, I think, in the 5th or 6th inning. And kind of turn the momentum again in their favor. But, yeah, you talk about close. I mean, we're talking close on a diving catch in center field. It could have maybe changed the whole game, too, and instead it went their way. But that's baseball. And extremely proud of the effort my guys gave, especially in the state tournament, but, you know, also all year long and working hard and getting better and buying into the system again. It's a process of buying into what coaches are telling you to do every day, even if you don't believe it, and maybe your parents don't believe it or outsiders don't believe it. But if they'll work hard and listen to what we're saying and put it all together at the right time, you can be very successful. And I think this group was successful. Even though we were close to accomplishing our goals, we didn't quite get there. I think we accomplished the goal of being successful and being better young men and better baseball players.
Again, we're being joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus to put a wrap on the high school baseball season. Coach, you do have a couple of seniors that you have to say goodbye to, and I know that's kind of the gift and the curse of high school sports in general. You grow attached to some of these kids, and then when their senior year comes, I mean, they're gone. It's the last time you get to coach a kid like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We had 7 seniors, you know. It's unfortunate we have to say goodbye, but fortunate that we had 7 of them to play for us this year, and, you know, 7 seniors that stuck it out throughout their high school career and got better, and all of them contributed. You know, we did some awards at our banquet, and we have our Carbon ESPYs tomorrow night at the high school, which I would invite everyone to come out. It's something we've, you know, tried to do something fun for our kids instead of just an athletic, you know, banquet or whatever. We call it the Carbon ESPYs, and it'll be at the high school tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and everyone's invited to come watch and see what kind of awards our young people are getting, and every sport will be involved, and it's something that's great for our guys. And yeah, we get a chance to honor our seniors, and, you know, they really did a great job. I put a lot of pressure on them this year being leaders. You know, they stepped up to the challenge. I think we can still all be better leaders, including myself, and I'm appreciative of the opportunity I got to work with each one of them. And, you know, like I said, each one of them did something wonderful for us this year. I'm going to get the chance to still work with a few of them this summer in Legion Ball. They're going to come out and play for us. A few of them have decided, you know, that maybe baseball is done for them, and they're going to move on this summer and start accomplishing, you know, new goals, which I support. And I tell them every year, you know, I'm a baseball coach, but hopefully I'm more than that for you. And if you ever need anything, you know, I'm always here. And I'm proud and excited to see where this senior class goes to in the next little bit.
Let's talk about the Legion season, because there's really, we always talk to coaches about what you're going to do in the offseason. What are some of the things that you can do throughout the summer to help these kids prepare for next season? For you, you move right into Legion Ball. In fact, you had tryouts earlier this week, and you guys get rolling with your first league game on June 2nd. I mean, it's right here.
Yeah, we basically get a week of practice, you know, especially with the holiday coming up. We're going to be done after today for the rest of the week, and then Monday off, and come back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we play St. George on Friday here at home for Legion Ball. And, you know, right off the bat, we get one of the best squads in the state, and that's probably what they're saying. Hey, right off the bat, we get Helper. And, you know, we both know what we need. We were the champions of our league last year. Our league has grown this year, and I'm excited about that. The American Legion League as a whole has grown across the state, and you know, I put forth a big effort along with St. George's American Legion coach of trying to reach out to all the high schools this year in the springtime to say, hey, we really need to get Legion ball back. And I think we made a big push, and I think we're seeing some benefits of that. I think we're going to continue to see benefits of that and hopefully get, you know, the Legion League back in the state of Utah, you know, strong. But I'm excited about it. You know, we had tryouts, like you mentioned. Still kind of, you know, kicking them around tonight. We did them yesterday and the day before. And I've had a lot of kids out because I'm running two programs with Utah's Perfect Game League for our younger guys and Helpers American Legion team for our older guys. And so, you know, we've had over, you know, 35 kids out there. And, you know, we're going to split those kids up and make two squads. And, you know, I'm excited. We've got some young kids that are just going to be freshmen next year that have been out, and then of course our freshmen this year and our sophomores this year are going to make up that squad for Utah's Perfect Game League, and then, you know, some seniors and juniors and a couple of sophomores are going to make up our Legion League. And I've got one returner back that graduated last year, Taylan Abeda, who has that, you know, that luxury of being a younger kid, so he's going to come back out this summer. He just got through helping coach our younger team this year at the high school level, and, you know, just a great kid, and now the tables are turned on him a little bit. He's got to get out there and play, and he's got to take orders from the coaches now instead of being a coach. And, you know, but it's a fun time of year, and I'm excited to, you know, get the Legion season kicked off and just see, you know, where we can go. And again, like I said, you know, we've got a really tough league this year. We added Dixie, who's, you know, obviously just won the 3A state championship. They're going to be in our league. Pleasant Grove is a big 5A school who is always awesome in baseball. And Corner Canyon, another big school up at the Point of the Mountain, who's in our league again this year. So we've got a tough league, and with only four teams from our league making the final round of the state tournament in July, it's going to be tough to be there. I mean, it's not a given at all, and, you know, I'm expecting the kids to have to work extremely hard this summer if they want to get to that final round of the state tournament.
Coach, I'm sad that high school baseball is done, but fortunately, we do have some Legion ball. I know we're going to be talking very frequently about this throughout the summer as well. I do appreciate you always taking out the time to join us, and look forward to talking about the Helper Squad.
Yeah, again, I want to make sure everybody knows that next Friday, June 2nd, will be the first home Legion game. I believe 8 p.m. start with St. George. And, you know, I think we talked about this before, but we will be hosting the first round of the State American Legion Tournament here in Helper this year, which will be a first ever. That's going to be around July 20th. And so, you know, we'll keep updates on that and how that's going to lay out. And hopefully, you know, our local support will be great for that tournament and supporting not only, you know, our home schools here with Price and Helper, but, you know, obviously coming out and just watching some great baseball. But, yeah, I'm excited to get things going, and we'll stop in and update everybody. And I know you'll have the schedule put out on the webpage for people. And obviously anybody can always give me a call if they need any information.
Coach, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you again for the time.
Appreciate it, Jordan. Thanks.
We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to move over to the national sports scene. Let's talk some horse racing. We had the Preakness this past weekend. Always Dreaming comes up short. We know there's going to be no Triple Crown. We'll preview the Belmont, talk a little bit about the aftermath, and does horse racing really need that intrigue of a Triple Crown? That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
How do you define RV? Well, at Desert View Federal Credit Union, we define it as relaxing vacation. And we're here to help you get started on that rest relaxation quicker than you think with a low-interest RV loan. At Desert View Federal Credit Union, we make the process quick and easy so you can start enjoying your summer weekends in the RV of your dreams. No matter how you define it, Desert View Federal Credit Union is here to help you finance it. Come in and get pre-approved today at your local branch in Huntington or Farron.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. Good! Phillip Winston from the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM, KOAL.
Saturday, June 3rd, Fierce Fighting Championship returns to the Castle Country with Redemption. It's a battle in the cage as the top men and women MMA fighters throughout the state battle on a stacked card that features main event Mike Jones and Ben Robinson.
This is Mike Jones. Don't miss Fierce Fighting Championship Redemption on June 3rd when I get to go toe-to-toe with Ben Robinson in the main event.
Tickets start at just $30 and are on sale now at FierceFightingChampionship.com. The doors will open at 5 and the event will begin at 6. Fierce Fighting Championship's Redemption, Saturday, June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center.
Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m. KOAL.